Steve Schaefer standing here behind me, and he has an important message for you that we cannot forget about, because in this time where we're currently at, this is vitally important. And so I want Steve to come and to speak about who's your one.
Good morning, Open Door. Well, let's talk for just a second about who's your one. As I mentioned last week, all of us at our church here have chosen a person in our lives that we want to move one step closer to Jesus Christ. And last week after the service, I got a text from my one. And I'm just going to read you the last line because I won't be able to get through the personal text, which is quite heart-wrenching and very personal. The last line is this: I know Christ is salvation because I believe. Now, there's nothing better than someone saying to you that they believe in Jesus Christ. So I want you to all to keep up your prayers for the one, for your one. As you know, we've been praying since November, and I have been doing that for this particular individual, and I've been praying since we started this campaign, and now God has truly answered my prayer. And it's not over. Now what do you have to do? You have to help disciple the person who's your one. So I've committed to spending time with my one, one-on-one, with the Bible, and being able to answer any questions that he may have. And I just want to encourage our church, don't stop. Had we not done this live broadcast last week, that may not have happened. So we just want to thank God for his mysterious ways and how they work. And just please keep up the prayers for your one. Amen.
You know, oftentimes what some people view as a curse, God can turn into a blessing. Amen. And so I am so happy for you, Steve, but I'm even more happy for your one. So like he says, continue to pray. All right, Open Door, you have your Bibles with you. You have them? Listen, if you have them, open up to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. And then also we'll be going down to verse 33. Also to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Again, that's Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 27, and then 33 through 34, Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 9. Listen, I hope you have your Bibles out at home. I hope you have them opened up. In fact, if you do, I'm going to play off of what Mike did here. If you have your Bibles opened up in front of you right now at your house to Matthew or to Philippians, I want you to just to put in the comment line, have it. Just want you to say, I have it. And that is going to be great, all right? So let's start with a word of prayer, as always. Father God, we come as your church, and we humbly bow before you. And we come, Father, to seek your presence, to seek your will in our lives. Father, we come seeking to hear from you a word, a transforming word, Father, that we need in this time, in this day. So, Father, as I come, I just come just presenting myself to you, nothing more than a servant. I ask, Father, that you would allow me to serve you today. I pray that you would allow me to speak your word today. Father, if I'm not the one to speak, I ask that you silence my lips. Lord, not allow me to say something that is not your truth or of your will. So, Father, I just present myself to you as a sacrifice, Father, that you would use me how you would see fit. So, Father, I just humbly bow before you, thank you, and praise you, Father, for this opportunity today to preach. Because, Father, you know, there's one thing that is different today is that I've never preached live online, but today is the day, and, Father, I want you to be glorified in it. So, Father, we love you, we thank you, and, Father, we expect to hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning's message was sparked, to say the least, by a tough couple of weeks. And I'm not going to lie to you all. The situation with the coronavirus has given me a few moments of anxiety. Not because I'm worried that I'm going to get it, and I'm not even worried because about if I can find food or toilet paper. I figure that'll all work itself out. But I believe my anxiety has come from my concern about all of you. I'm concerned and have anxiety for our church family. Things like this. How are we going to stay connected? Listen, it's only been a couple of weeks, and I'm going to tell you honestly and truthfully, my soul yearns to be with you. I miss you all. I love you all greatly. And already I worry how long will this disconnect of our church family last? How long is it going to be? I have anxiety at times on how are we going to continue to minister to the community and each other. Although I have to tell you, Open Door Baptist Church, I am thoroughly impressed in how many of you have stepped up to do just that, to minister not only into us as a church, but how you've reached out into your communities to minister. I am proud of our church and the way they've stepped up. But I worry, how am I going to be able to continue to personally minister to you, to continue to shepherd you? I have worry on things like, are we going to be able to afford to continue to run the church? Are we going to be able to afford to help those of you who have lost your source of income? You know, these are some of the things that give me anxiety. Now, normally at this point in time, right here, I would ask for a show of hands so you can do your own virtual show of hands, because I want to ask you some questions. Are any of you worried about these same kinds of things? Or maybe some things like, are you worried about getting sick? Are you worried about your children getting sick? Your parents getting sick? Are you worried about paying the mortgage? Buying food, finding toilet paper. Will I even have a job when all this is over? Or how about this? How is my senior year going to play out? You know, prom, graduation, and so forth. Well, to say the least, the past couple of weeks has given us some reasons to worry, some reasons for anxiety. And truthfully, if it wasn't for the coronavirus, we would find something else to worry about. Yes, we would. We would do that. Because why? Because in reality, we live in a society of worriers. I mean, in reality, if you were to walk down the antacid aisle at Kroger's or Walmart's, you will realize that this statement is true. Do you realize that the antacid industry barely existed 50 years ago? Our grandparents didn't take Pepcid, Zantac, or Nexium. You know, and I think I can remember my wife's dad taking Rolaids back in the 70s when we were dating. I wonder if there was a connection with that, him, Rolaids, and me dating his daughter. Well, anyways, but I remember that. But I don't remember anything other than Rolaids or Tums or maybe some Pepto-Bismol. But today, the antacid industry is flourishing. Why is that? Well, it's because people are making themselves sick worrying about things. Some people worry so much that it makes their whole lives, their entire being, it takes it over. It takes over, it consumes them. And people will worry about anything. And let me tell you, they'll worry about everything. So listen to me. People do worry about losing their jobs. Yes, right? We do the things like that. But when they take worry, to just a step further, they worry about worrying. Why is that? Why is a Christian worried about worrying? Well, because scripturally it tells us that that's wrong. Now I got to tell you something. When you're worrying about worrying, that's serious. And listen, we know this to be true because the medical community tells us this. Worrying can cause heart disease. Worrying can cause cancer, migraines, and even diabetes. You know, I read that the Mayo Clinic estimates that more than 80% of their total caseloads is somehow related to worrying or stress. So listen, when I hear these kinds of facts, it makes me realize that God didn't create these bodies to endure worry or to endure the burden of stress. And although he didn't create these bodies to endure stress, but yet we worry. And I'm guilty of it as well. I take blood pressure pills. I've had cancer. I've had a heart attack. I have diabetes and I have prescription antacid pills. I stress eat. Look, that's a confession to y'all, right? So I, as your pastor, am not exempt from this either. And I think this, honestly, when I sat down to this, I thought, shame on me. Shame on me. Shame on you, Larry. You know better. And you know the Word of God. And you know what the Word of God has to say about this matter. So I have allowed stress to take a toll on my physical body, and yet it is clear by God's word that God did not create our bodies to endure worry, to endure stress, and to endure anxiety. But do you know what? The word of God is also very clear about our spiritual bodies. God did not create your spiritual bodies to endure worry or stress either. And as I've studied this over the past couple of days, and as I've realized that we, as human beings, often divide life into two categories. We either divide life into the spiritual or into the physical. But there's something that you need to know. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't separate the two. In fact, he always connected the physical with the spiritual. And this is part of what I want to look at today. So if you have your Bibles there in the book of Matthew, let's look to see what Jesus had to say about this. So turn there in Matthew chapter 6. Let's start in verse 25. It says, "Therefore, I say to you," this is Jesus speaking right here, "therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father fed them, and you are not of more value, are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" Who can add one more ounce of time to their life? So in these few verses, Jesus said this, that we should not worry about our life, nor what you will eat or what you will drink. That's physical sustenance, okay? That's the how we sustain ourselves physically. Nor, look what he says, nor about your body. He's talking about your health. Or look what he says, or about what you will wear, and that is his provision, his daily provision. So in these verses, the Lord covers your life, your physical sustenance, your health, and your provision. So there's not much he's left out in this area of your life. There's not much he's left out in your life at all. Jesus said you don't have to worry about pretty much anything because your heavenly Father has taken care of all of that. He's taking care of all of the physical that you would possibly need. Now watch. Now let's get to the spiritual. And jump down to verse 33, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This is where Jesus connects the physical with the spiritual. Look what he says there. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So Jesus first says this. He comes and he says, don't worry. You seek God first and he's got you. That's pretty much what he's saying. He's saying, look, don't worry. You seek God and he has you. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of everything. And his word says he'll take care of all things. And then Paul tells us over in Philippians that you should not worry about anything. And there is nothing at all that you need to worry about. In fact, turn there with me to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And let me tell you, while you're turning to Philippians 4, 6, and 7, here's an interesting fact for you to know. that written right up here on underneath this carpet on the altar, on the steps of this altar, is this verse. So that when you kneel down to pray, you're kneeling on this very verse when you pray. All right, that's just an interesting fact, right? But listen to what it says. Paul said this. He says, be anxious for nothing. And now Paul is going to tell us the formula to be anxious for nothing. He's going to give us the formula for this. Look what it says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace, now what? Look, what's the peace? That is the opposite of anxiety. Peace is the opposite of fear, right? In the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And now that all understanding meaning, listen, you're not even able to understand why you have such peace. You and yourself can't comprehend after doing this what God tells you to do. You're not even going to be able to comprehend why you have this peace or how you have such peace. But that peace that you have is this. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Look what it says. Look what it says that this peace, what this peace will surpass all understanding will do. Look what it says it will do. It will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So look here. He says, be anxious for nothing. The NIV says, do not be anxious about anything. Nothing. Anything. And what he's saying here, there is nothing and there isn't anything that you need to be anxious about. That's what Paul says. Now listen, I want to make sure that we don't confuse anxiety with concern. There's two different things. There's a difference between anxiety and concern. It's not wrong to be concerned about something. But it's anxiety is the problem. The stuff that causes us to take Rolaids. The stuff that causes us to take Nexium. The stuff that causes us to have heart attacks. The things that cause us to have anxiety attacks. Those are the things we're talking about. That's the worry. So if we are not to worry about our lives or what we will eat or what we will drink or about our health and about what we will wear, and Paul clarifies that for us, we are not to worry about anything, nothing, then why is it that we worry? Why is it that we worry? And the greater question is, how do we stop? Let me just say, let me tell you this in going into this message. It has a lot to do with us trusting in and living and having faith in knowing that God is in control of all things. The one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who formed us out of the dust of the earth, this one is in control of everything. Nothing that is or is happening is out of God's control. It didn't catch him off guard. So how do we get to the point where regardless of what is going on, coronavirus, loss of a job, a loss of income, regardless of what is going on around us, marital troubles, troubles with our children, a terrible health diagnosis, whatever it is, how do we, instead of being worried and being anxious, how do we have peace, which we all want? A peace that helps us lie down in bed at night and fall asleep in under a minute. That's peace. Anybody has sleeping problems, am I right? Listen, if you can lay down in bed and fall asleep within under a minute, listen, you're at peace. How do we have that kind of peace that connects the physical with the spiritual, where I know God's got this? That's important. How do I come to a place to where I know God got this? And because I know that God has it, that now I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to stress. I'm not going to dwell on this. How do I stop recycling all the worry in mind just over and over and over and over? It just keeps recycling over and over and over. And it gets worse. The further it goes, the worse it gets. The word says this to us. Remember, you're not on your own. You're not on your own. The Lord wants us to remember we are not alone. And he has a plan for you to combat worry. He knew we were going to be worriers, all right? So he gave us a solution to how to overcome worry. There's a formula for that. And listen, it's not the new math that the kids are learning or being taught in school today. Just a little plug for all you parents. We're praying for you who have to become teachers at home. This new math, whatever happened to carrying the one, I don't know. But listen to me. We're praying for you. But this is not something new. But this is a pretty simple formula on how to have peace, how to maintain peace. So here we go. Number one, peace comes through prayer. Peace comes through prayer. Look again at Philippians verse 6 and 7. Look what Paul said. He said, be anxious for nothing. Now, before we move any further, I want to just briefly explain to you what was going on in the passage surrounding Paul's statement here. What was happening when Paul said this? At this particular time in history, there was a lot of stuff going on in the Philippian church. The church was suffering severe persecution, and obviously this would have been coming from outside the church, but as well, there was some fighting going on inside the church. There was quarreling and fighting among some of the members, and there was a disunity in the church family. Let me tell you something, pastors. I'm talking to pastors who might be listening into this. I want you to know something, pastors. We're praying for you at this church. Because we are forced to have to make unprecedented decisions that we know are not going to make everybody happy. So we're praying for you for godly wisdom that God will intercede on your behalf, all right? But this, here at the Church of Philippi, there were some people in the church family who were prideful. Some thought they were, some of these people thought they were super spiritual, and they flaunted that. They wanted to flaunt that around. Look how spiritual I am. And others were self-centered, and they only cared about what they wanted. As long as I got what I want, as long as I got what I needed, they were very self-centered. And listen, you will find these types of people in every church body. This church in Philippi was no exceptions. But also, they had this. This is serious. They had some false teachers who had joined their fellowship. And they were teaching the wrong gospel or not the whole truth. Listen, especially now today, we need to be on guard about this. We really do. And look, but they had false teachers among them. And then there were believers within the fellowship who were just full of suffering. They were struggling for even the most basic necessities of life, things like food, things like clothing, things like shelter, medical attention. And there were some who were just having a rough time. Listen, we know people in our own churches like this. They're just having a rough time. So this church of Philippi, honestly, doesn't seem any different than any other church, not only then, but all the way to our current age that we live in right now. There are times when the church is being attacked. There's times when the church is facing struggles from a multitude of angles, sometimes from within and sometimes from out. Now, we must understand this, that the word says this, there will always be attacks against the church. There will always be attacks against the church. And by that, I'm referring to us as the church. Us that are united here virtually. All of us who are watching in and listening in right now, I'm talking to us. We are the church. I'm not talking about this building that I'm standing in. I'm not talking about this as a church. I'm talking about us as the church. Listen, folks. Listen to me, Christians. We are not the building, but we are the church. And Jesus himself said that we will have struggles. It's not if, it's when. It's going to happen. He tells us it's going to happen. So trials, struggles, temptations, fears, all of these things will bring on the anxiety and they will all bring on worry. And when these things come, the truth is we fret, we worry, and we suffer anxiety, and people suffer anxiety attacks. Now, again, I've never recall hearing this term, anxiety attacks. I never heard this term when I was younger. And now many, many people suffer from anxiety attacks. Listen to me. It's a real thing. And let me tell you something else. It is very frightening when that takes place, because you know why? Many people feel, when they're under an anxiety attack, they feel that they're having a heart attack. So it's real. And these anxiety attacks happen because why? We worry. We worry when we lose our job. We worry when we get sick and have medical bills. We worry when the interest rate on our mortgage goes up or our mortgage payment raises. The truth is, we as humans do fret, worry, and suffer anxiety, especially when we are persecuted, ridiculed, abused, or threatened beyond our control. We worry about war or about attacks on our country. We worry about the economy and if our retirement plans will be there if we need it, if our businesses will be there when we get back. We fret. We worry and suffer anxiety when we are surrounded by quarrels and when we're surrounded by disturbances, when we're surrounded by uncertainties. We worry when our marriages are in trouble. What will I do if he or she leaves me? How will I survive? We worry when we are having trouble getting along with coworkers. Am I going to lose my job over this? We worry when we are surrounded by worldliness or false teaching. How do I know that this is truth? How do I know that what this guy is saying is true? Or as a parent, one of the things I've worried about is, what are my kids going to be exposed to when I'm not with them? I worry about them making the right choices. Parents, you hear me? Amen on that? We worry about our kids making the right choices. And children, you worry when your parents aren't getting along. Parents fight for multitudes of reasons. And children sit there and they worry. We worry about the current state of our country. The Democrats and Republicans fight over literally everything. So we look at this and think, what's this world coming to? What's our country coming to? What's going to happen to this country? What's it going to be like in the future? And we worry. And on top of all that, and on top of all the normal stuff that we already worry about, we now have the COVID-19 pandemic. And the media, I think, tries to make people even more panicked than we already are. Now, listen to me very carefully. I don't want you texting me and telling me. I don't care. Listen, I am not in any way saying that this is not real or very serious, because it is very real and it is very serious. But here's what I'm trying to say. If I watch the news too long, I begin to have anxiety. The governor has ordered us to stay in place. We are afraid to go around other human beings. We're afraid to shake hands. We're afraid to hug, breathe the same air. Listen, we're not used to that. There's just a couple of us here to put this service on. You know how hard it is for us not to shake hands and hug? Listen, I don't care if I breathe the same air as Mike or not, but listen, but for us not to be relational is hard. So listen, as humans, as Christians, we have a lot to worry about. But yet, Jesus said this. He comes through all of this. He comes through all of this, and he says, don't worry. Don't worry. You can almost read it in there. It's like, it's so calm. Listen, don't worry. You know what? The Word of God, listen, this is interesting. The Word of God repeats over and over and over and over, do not worry, do not be afraid, do not worry, do not be afraid. Listen, as Christians, we have a great hope. We have a secure hope. We have a hope that is greater than the coronavirus. Now, I don't have a death wish. Listen to me, I don't have a death wish, but I want to tell you something. I'm not afraid either. In fact, let me tell you something. The phrase, do not be afraid, watch, this is interesting. The phrase, do not be afraid, is repeated 365 times in the Bible. Do you think that's a coincidence? It's for one time for every day of the year? I don't think so, right? So listen, the only way to keep from fretting, to keep from worrying, from suffering anxiety, since we can't seem to control it ourselves, it has to be this. Listen, it has to be supernatural, right? It has to be outside of ourselves. This peace, this state of mind has to come from outside of ourselves. So look again at verse 6. It says there, be anxious for nothing. Now, what have I told you before when you see this word but right there? When you see this word but, what have I told you? Circle it. Circle it in your Bible because something important is coming, right? There's either a promise or a warning that's going to follow this, right? It says there, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in what did he say? In everything. Now, I'm thinking that everything includes your life, includes what you will eat, what you will drink, it includes your health, it includes what you will wear, right? Look what it says, in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication means this, to petition or appeal by prayer. Making an appeal by prayer. How? In everything with prayer and supplication, how? With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So what's Paul saying here? In everything, pray. Now, I have to ask this. How many of you, let me have a virtual show of hands here, right? A virtual show of hands. How many of you pray in everything? Or you pray about everything? Anybody? How about this? Show of hands. How about do you pray about what you will eat? Now, some people may pray about this if the food runs out before payday. They might pray about what they'll eat. Or maybe if they're trying to diet, they may ask God to help them resist temptation. But how many people, seriously, how many people pray, should I have the broccoli or the corn? Now listen, some prayers should be shorter than others, and this is one of those that's a short prayer. That's a no-brainer. I know what God loves corn, okay? So listen, but have you prayed between the broccoli and the corn? You pray about what you will drink. When was the last time you asked God if he was going to provide you with something to drink today? Now, listen, in this country, that's not a big issue. But let me tell you something. In a lot of countries, this is a major issue. So instead, when is the last time you asked God, should I have the coffee or the tea? Should I have the regular Coke or the Diet Coke? Now, how about your health? Now, this is more relevant to us right here. This is more relevant to us because I'd have to say most of us probably have prayed about our health. When something's wrong, right? When something's wrong, we all are praying about our health. Or even in our current crisis, afraid of what our health could become. Lord, don't let me contract the COVID-19 virus. But let me ask you this. How many of you pray about your health when it's all good? We kind of take that for granted, don't we? When things are good, we kind of don't go to the Lord in prayer. Or how about what you will wear? Now, I can honestly say to you, look at you out there, and I can honestly say to you, I don't think I have ever prayed about what to wear. I just honestly look this good all by myself. I mean, listen, can you imagine how good I'd look if I prayed about it first? I mean, back up, right? Shut the front door, right? I mean, I'm telling you, if I prayed about this, you guys wouldn't be able to handle it. You'd not be able to take it. I'm just kidding, right? However, do you ever pray about if what you're wearing glorifies God? Have you ever done that? Listen, we're to pray about everything. This is my point. We are prayed about everything. Prayer is important. Listen, even our governor asked us to pray on Wednesday. West Virginia declared a day of prayer on Wednesday. Why? Why? Because the governor must realize that he has absolutely no control over the current situation in West Virginia, and there is nothing that he can do but pray. Listen, it shouldn't be said that way. I would hope that he doesn't come and say, there's nothing I can do but pray. I would hope his attitude was, the best thing I can do is pray. So you get the point. God's word tells us in everything we should pray. If you want some of that supernatural power, some of that supernatural peace, he says, look, folks, pray. Pray. Come to me. Pray. Seek me. Pray. And listen, you do that, and here's the result. Look at the result. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here it is. The peace of God. I'm just pausing for a second. The peace of God. Can anybody imagine what that is? Can anybody imagine truly what the peace of God is? Well, listen, I personally think this, you know, I personally think it's the ability to go to bed at night regardless of what's going on around you in sleep. Like full-on REM sleep. Why? Because that God is guarding your mind. You know, internally, God has settled you. God's peace. What is God's peace? I think God's peace is when internally God has settled you. He has settled your heart. He's settled your mind, no matter of what is taking place in you or around you. I think it's the ability to lie down in bed at night and meditate on the goodness of God. Thanking Him. Thanking Him for His goodness. Until we fall asleep. I mean, think about that. Giving praise to God, thanking Him for all the blessings that you do have, and thanking Him until you fall asleep without all the worries of the world keeping us up or heaping up on us. And I know that sleep is an issue because there is an entire pharmaceutical line dedicated to helping people fall asleep, and to stay asleep. So the peace of God has to be a supernatural power. The peace of God has to be a supernatural power. And we can't have true peace, God's peace, without it. Why? Because we can't stop our mind from thinking and dwelling and fretting about a situation on our own. Listen, God has to do that for us. He has to intercede. That's why he tells us not to be anxious, but to pray. That's intercession. We go to God in prayer. That's why he tells us to cast our burdens upon him. Listen to me, Christians. We were never designed to be burden carriers. God never designed us to carry burdens. That's why he tells us, unload that on me. I carry for you, because you were never designed that. You know what? We were designed to be faith carriers. We were designed to have relationship with God. That's why he designed it. He wanted relationship with us. Listen, folks, when we submit everything to God in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we are turning our fears into faith. You know, Mike and them in the praise just sang a song as love conquers fear. Listen, that is so true. Listen, we need to turn our prayers. Our prayers will overcome fear. And that through prayer from a Christian, that through prayer by faith, that I know this. One, I'm not alone. And God is for me. God is for me. When we pray, it motivates God into action. When we pray, then God will give us the ability to conquer worry. God will give us the ability to conquer anxiety. God Himself will overcome the trials of life for us. Listen, He overcame death. What is it in His life that He cannot overcome for you? No matter how terrible, no matter how pressuring the trial may be, God is bigger because God is peace. And in Him, there is peace. So when we seek Him, Christians, when we seek Him, God Himself will infuse us with His peace. You know why I can say that? Because He says right here in His Word that He will do it. He says, you pray, I'll give you. You pray, I'll give you. He'll give us what? His peace. The peace of God that we can't even understand. We can't comprehend it. A peace that is so great and so wonderful that it carries us right through the trials. Now, how does He do it? Listen to me. You need to write this down because this is great theology right there. How in the world did God do this? Let me tell you right up front. I don't know. I don't know. Why do I say I don't know? Because it says right there in Scripture, it surpasses all what? Understanding. It's supernatural. It's divine. You know what? My smartphone can't even figure this out. But I know that He does it because I've experienced it. Even though at times, obviously, I've forgotten to implement this, I've experienced it. Here's what I know. It's internal. It's spiritual. It's not physical. It's supernatural. It is of God Himself. Now, let me just say this. You need to attend your ears here. The peace of God does not mean that everything is going to turn out exactly like you want it to. That's not what this means. Don't go out of here. This is not a health and wealth sermon. That's not what this means. Just because you give it to God and then have a sense of peace about it, that doesn't mean the way you want things to turn out is the way that they are going to turn out. That's not what this means. It simply means this: God will give you peace. He's going to give you peace internally through what? Through who? The Holy Spirit. He's going to give you a Holy Spirit. As Christians, the Holy Spirit lives within us. We have a comforter, a friend that lives in us that's going to rise up by the supernatural power of God in us. Listen, they'll give us peace. Listen, it gives us this internal Holy Spirit peace that you trust. That no matter what, you can trust that He is in control. And remember, the will of God will never take you to where the grace of God will not protect you. Especially knowing that His ways are not your ways and that His ways are best. Even though I don't understand, even though I don't know why, I have to trust that God has put me in this place at this time in the middle of this pandemic to do what He has called me to do. And He has given me a peace in the middle of it. When everybody else is in fear. Why? Because God intervened. I know that my ways aren't His ways, but I do know that His ways are best, even if I don't like it. Steve shared with you about who's His one, that if we would have been continued to do church like we always did church, that His one probably would have never come to know Jesus that day. Listen, I don't understand why, but I can understand this. God is at work. And I'm at peace. But this peace that Paul is speaking of here means this. It means that you are bound, joined, and woven together with God. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing. This peace that I'm talking about, this supernatural peace, means that you get it, you have it, you ask for it, you receive it. Means that you are bound, joined, and woven together with God. What that means is this: you are in relationship with God. I don't know if you can dissect that, but you listen. We should be shouting hallelujah, amen, to the top of our voices. Because when God gives us this, it's an identifier that I am His. And He is mine. That I'm in relationship with Him. How am I in relationship? By believing and trusting in Him, in His well-being is for me. So it means that we can be assured. That's what this means. When we're in relationship with God, it means that we can be assured, confident, and secure in the love and care of God. He cares for you and He cares for me. It means that we believe this, that in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, this is what it means. Romans 8, 28. All things, good or bad. This doesn't say all good things. It says all things, good or bad, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, to those who are in relationship with Him. It means to have a sense of consciousness, a knowledge that God will provide, God will guide, God will strengthen, God will sustain, God will deliver, God will encourage, God will save and give life and now and forevermore. Knowing not that I have Him, but that He has me. Because I've given Him complete control over everything. Simply put, peace means we trust God. To be who He says He is. Peace means we trust God to be who He says He is. And that we believe that He will do what He says He will do. Because listen, only God can deliver us through the most severe circumstances and tragedies of life. Only God can do that. Only God can give us the assurance and security that our souls long for. You know what? The government can't do that. The government can't guarantee us peace or security. Neither can any man that you know. Only God can do that. Listen, I don't know if you noticed this, but the peace of God is this. Watch this. The peace of God is a promise. The peace of God is a promise given here. So first there is the prayer, then there is the promise of peace. Look at this. Number two, peace comes through the promise of God. Number two, peace comes through the promise of God. Look at Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. It says here, present your request to God. Very specific. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will. It doesn't say might. It doesn't say maybe I should or I could. It's possible. It doesn't say that. It says will. It says will. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And not only is it a promise, but the peace of God is twofold. First, the peace of God transcends all understanding. We talked about it. It is beyond anything that we can ask or think of. It transcends our imagination. It's divine. We don't understand it. It's supernatural. We don't understand it. But also, look, the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. Meaning God's peace protects. It protects. Who would it protect? His people. Because notice here, the words will guard, watch this. The words will guard is a military term, meaning to garrison. To garrison, like when the military surrounds to keep guard or protect. You see them build a fortified military barrier around a certain thing to protect it. The peace of God is like a soldier who guards and protects the most precious, precious possession of God, our hearts and our minds. And here's the disclaimer, though. Here's the disclaimer. To be protected by God, I must be in Christ Jesus. Disclaimer, I didn't put it in there, the Lord did. This protection that God is talking about is for those who are in Christ Jesus. And look at verse 9, what Paul said, these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now listen to me. Most of you know about the life of Paul, and those of you who do not, Paul did not have an easy life. He was persecuted by he was persecuted for the name of Jesus, for being a follower of Jesus. He was thrown in prison on multiple occasions, spent most of his life in prison. He was beaten, whipped, stoned, shipwrecked, God forbid, snake bit, and chased out of town after town after town. He did not have an easy life in Christ. This is a follower of Christ. This is a believer of Christ. He didn't have an easy life in Christ, so he had lots of reasons to be anxious and lots of reasons to be stressed. And yet he said, follow my example. What did he say? Follow my example. What did he say? Do not be anxious. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, in every single thing, you pray and plead with God. You present your request to God. And you thank Him. And you give Him thanks. And He will give you peace. And not just any peace, but His peace. A peace that will not even be, that you're not even going to be able to understand. But listen, He promised that you will have it. So church, let's practice what we've been taught. In all things, let us pray so that we can have that peace. In light of all that is going on in our current world, you can have peace. Why? Because even though we're out here separate, nobody can stop us from praying. Nobody. Listen, we need to be about praying. Why? So that we can have peace in light that everything is going on. Why? Because we know that God is in control over all things. You know, we had a phenomenal prayer service on Wednesday night. I don't know who all pitched or got in on that. But we had an absolutely phenomenal service on Wednesday night. And I think those of you who tuned in would agree with me that it was powerful. We were there for an hour. We met together and we met with God. It was just amazing and it was powerful. So why was that? Why was it so powerful? Let me tell you why. Because it's because there is power in prayer. That's why. When I'm focused in God, on God in prayer, I'm not focused on the outside things. There's power there's the power to have peace in the middle of any single thing that is happening in your life, any single thing at any single time. Now listen to me. In order to tap into this presence of God, offers to His people who pray. Listen, how do I get it? He only offers it to His people who pray. Listen, very important. You first have to be His people. So who is His people? Who is His people? It's those who believe that Jesus is the blood sacrifice for those who call upon His name for the forgiveness of their sins. It is those who ask for forgiveness of their sins and turn from their sin and ask Jesus to take up residence in their heart, to become their Lord and their Savior. And now for those who follow Jesus, those people can now have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, that you can now approach God with your prayers. Because why? Because of the blood that Jesus covered your sins with. You see, sin's what separates us from God. And Jesus covered your sins with His blood. And for those, God hears your prayers. And there is power in those prayers. And that power is peace in my heart and in my mind. It's a peace, and it's a sweet peace, a peace that is deep within. So why would I not take everything to God in prayer? So as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, listen, if you are struggling, the answer is prayer. Why? Because when you pray, it unleashes the promise of God. Because prayer will restore a soul. It will bring peace to a troubled soul. Also, prayer will create a sweet fellowship among believers. And listen, last Wednesday night, we weren't together, but we had a sweet fellowship together. It will create a fellowship among believers, and prayer will show you the power of peace that God gives in any life circumstances. Yes, you can have peace over the coronavirus. Yes, you can have peace over life troubles. Yes, you can have peace over fear. So if you are listening this morning and you want to invite Jesus into your life, if you want this peace that only He offers, then pray along with me and listen. God can and will hear your prayer. But listen, before we pray, I want you to keep something in mind. Keep this in mind. It is not the prayer that saves you, but instead it is the heart in which you pray. Are you being real with God right now? Do you really want Him into your life? So if you need Christ in your life, maybe He's speaking to you right now, and you need Christ in your life, which we all do. Amen? We all do. Then I'm going to ask you to pray with me. I'm going to ask you to pray right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm afraid, Lord, that I do not have peace. Things are going on in the world that just absolutely scare me. My life is missing something, and I realize today that it is missing You. Therefore, on this day and at this time, right where I'm seated right now, I come to You, Lord Jesus, and I confess to You that I truly am a sinner. I know that I have done things that are not right in my life toward You. And today, Lord, I come and I ask You to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins, please, Lord Jesus. I ask You to take up residence in my heart, that You would become the Lord of my life. I pray, Father, You give me the ability and the courage to follow You. Lord, I ask You to make me a new person with You now as my leader. Help me, Jesus, to understand and know You deeply. Help me to know You better. Help me to learn what it means to follow You. Help me to understand what it truly means to be a Christian. But Lord, I come to You and ask You to save my life as I give mine to You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now listen to me. If you prayed that prayer, then listen, I need you to reach out to me. I need you to reach out to me so that I can talk with you some more. We have to follow up with discipleship. So I need to instruct you in the next steps that you need to take. Listen, you can meet me by private. You can reach me by private message on our church's Facebook, or you can contact me by my cell phone, which is 304-280-7259. Listen to me, Christians. I want to speak to you for one last time. Worry puts a question mark on our faith in God. It does. Worry puts a question mark on our faith in God. And when that happens, that produces doubt and fear. But when we pray, church, when we pray, earnestly, humbly pray, the God of peace will be with you, period. Why? Because prayer motivates God to activate His promises. And that even peace over your mind and your heart and your life. I'm going to close with this statement. Charles Spurgeon said this: true prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth. That's who we pray to. Let us pray together. Father God, I thank You and praise You, Father, for this time. I praise You for this word. Father, I pray that we will seek You. I pray that You will come into our living rooms, wherever we're seated at right now. Maybe we're in a car somewhere. I don't know. But wherever we're at, whatever state we're in, West Virginia, Ohio, PA, New York, I don't know, wherever. Father, I know this, that You hear our prayers. And we as Your people call upon You and ask for You to send us peace. Peace in knowing that You are in control. That we do not have to live in fear, even in this time. We do not have to live in fear, but we can live in victory because we know you. And because we know you and you know us, death has lost its sting. There's nothing to hold us here. There's nothing that can hold us down and pin us down to make us think that something's going to overtake us. Father, we are yours. And in that, in itself, should bring us peace. So, Father, we ask that you offer peace, and we ask that, Father, for those who may have prayed today to receive you as their Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that you'll just begin a work in them, a powerful work, but, Father, you will also let them reach out so that we can disciple them. Father, for your glory, I present this sermon to you. In Jesus' name, amen.